Amen. This has been 2 weeks. My God. Unbelievable. And you can go to Exodus. This is God was dealing with me because, man, you know, we got home that Sunday and somebody had broke into the house. They went in through, it had to be a kid because they went in through one of the basement windows about this high, about that long. And he must have went upstairs and unlocked the doors for him. They didn't take a whole lot. They just tore the house up. I mean, just ransacked. Like, you know, one house was sitting on top of a box or something. I'm like, what are you doing up under there? I hope they got a lot of dust on their hands. So we were trying to, and then the detectives come out, so we waited on them. So we couldn't really, certain things we just couldn't touch. But they didn't show up. They showed up, but they came on the wrong day. I was at the hospital, the doctor's office. So maybe they listened and I never heard back from them. So we had to have glass bricks put all around the basement. Alarm. Hey, sweetie. Unreal. And so we got all that done. And then, of course, my car did an Exodus on me on Thursday. Hit the side, it didn't want to start. And I'm sitting there, you know, I go, this is unbelievable. What is this? You know, this car has just about been rebuilt. Why is it still messing up? So then I get to the bowling alley. I finally started. I got to the bowling alley. Me and First Lady coming out. She said, your car going to start? I go, I don't know. Of course it didn't start. We tried to boost it. I told her, she got that new car, so you don't know where the battery is in that thing. Some guy was trying to tell us, but I said, man, I'm not going to tear up the back of this car looking for no battery. I had it hooked up to all kinds of stuff. Red, I mean, I didn't know what to hook the cables. I said, we better stop before I blow up your system. Because by now I got aggravated. It's cold. I've been out there 35, 40 minutes already. So then she said, well, I'm going to call AAA and we'll just get it towed. I said, okay. Well, she on the phone with AAA. Guess what happens? The car starts up. So, of course, you know, I socked the dash. You could have just did that. And we wouldn't be going through all this. So I get it home. I finally get it to the shop. God was supposed to have changed the pan on my transmission. And he didn't put some of the screws back in. So all this time, the transmission fluid was leaking down into the starter. And after about a year, the starter was full of transmission fluid. Well, in the process of it burning up, it burned out the battery. And I'm sitting there. The guy says, you want somebody to take you home? I said, no, I'm gonna walk. And that was a nice little walk I had to do after I got halfway there. I was like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever been done. Keep on letting your feelings get in the way of me trying to bless you. So I said, okay. And then First Lady had her surgery, you know, which it went well. I thank God. I tell folks all the time, you know, them doctors, they think they got their knowledge from schooling, but they got their knowledge from God because they haven't had the mindset to be able to comprehend what they learn. Some of them just get through. They have to comprehend a lot. So you better make sure you got a good one. But as I was sitting there and I was fussing. I was really fussing. working, but I was fussing. Man, so I was fussing. I was not happy. I go, Lord, it's been 2 weeks, and look at everything that we've been through. You know, I said, look at this. This is ridiculous. So then, just Sherry quotes this scripture all the time in different ways when she called herself being big sister. Stand still, you know, and see the salvation. Well, she always big sister and mama. You got it right, Pastor. All right, yes. And so we in Exodus, the 14th chapter and the 13th verse. Don't get you out of here this morning. I'm looking at that clock. These lights are driving me crazy, especially when that one right there, I'm sitting there and they go dark. I got that Pastor Harris sitting, and I look right up at it. I make it so obvious. Nobody else paying attention but me and Elder Perez, because he's looking at it too, shaking his head. But we're going to start with the 12th verse of the 14th chapter of Exodus. Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know, sometimes we complain. Well, you might not, but I do. And I fuss. And then God comes along, he says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. Today. Mm-hmm. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, this is what got me right here. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He just gave that great testimony. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And then the Lord wanted to know, why are you crying, brother? I just gave you a word. You know, look at that. It said, Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still. Sometimes God wants us to stand firm and to be confident. Amen. In the word that he's placed in our lives. Amen. And your emotions go play into that a lot. That because we're an emotional being. Yeah. We're a spiritual being living on the inside of us. Amen. So, of course, that's why it says the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Because we are in a constant battle for who's going to have supremacy in our lives. Or who we're going to let rule our lives. And so Moses is telling them, look, fear ye not. Stand still. Be firm. Be flexible. Be confident. So that you can see. The word see means to perceive and perception. Sometimes you can't see your blessing. You can't see what God is doing. But you have to believe that he's doing it. That's where faith comes in. That's where sometimes it seems like we run right into a brick wall. Because we know we have faith. We've seen what God can do. We've seen what God has done. And we still, sometimes we have that problem. You know, we're like, Lord, where are you? I know who you are. I know what you can do. I know what you're capable of. But here I am, feel like I'm stuck in the middle of this thing. So he says, see the salvation. Salvation means prosperity or deliverance. Yeah. Sometimes you have to look past the situation that you're in and see what God has promised you. Amen. You have to visualize that what God has promised you is already in the works. Right. It's already manifesting itself so that we can have what it is that we ask for. Right. And that's why that little scripture in, I think it's Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these things. If you know you're seeking after right standing in God and you're standing in right standing with God, then why do we spend so much time fussing in our minds? We might not fuss with our mouths, but we fuss with our minds. call it doubting Thomas. Yeah. It wasn't that he doubted in his mouth with his words. Jesus recognized that he had doubted in his spirit.
Amen.
It's, so we, in spite of our circumstances, we have to stand still. We have to stand firm, and we have to understand that this too will pass. That's the problem I was having, Brother Andy, was that reminding myself, this gonna pass.
Man.
Something else waiting on you. But if you get through this one, you can get through the next one. You just have to stand. You have to be firm in your faith and in your belief in God and know that God's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So most of them, we see the salvation of God. Well, they're looking out over the Red Sea and all they see is water. They see the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them. Well, when you see trouble in front and trouble behind you, sometimes it's kind of hard to visualize what's on the other side of trouble. That's when you allow the faith of God to manifest itself in your life. That's when you got to stop thinking like a man and think like God. You need to think like God. Why do you think he gave us his word? So that we can think like him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you can change and understand who you are in God and who he is in you. So he said, he will show you. He'll make it visible to you. Even you have to see what God's going to do. You have to look at the Red Sea and see it already doing what God said he's going to do. You have to look at the other side, which I know you cannot see, because the Red Sea was vast. So you couldn't see the other side. But you had to believe that there was an other side. So he's telling them that you got to calm down, stand still, and see the power of God, the prosperity of God. That's what you got to do. Who you have seen today, these people whom you see today, Egyptian represents bondage, things that bind us. Our mindsets, our struggles, our trials, our tribulations, they bind us and they hold us in chains. Because they stop us from believing what God has already promised us. How many times have you sat there or you laid there and wondered, why I got to go through this, God, when you were healing?
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Why I got to put up with this when you were delivered?
That's right.
You know, I've even asked him, why I got to lose people when I know what you're capable of?
That's right. Amen.
But then God said, you have to remember the word. God ain't never, somebody asked me the other day, after Sister Shirley, they asked me, why do God take people? I said, God don't take people. People have got to go.
That's right. That's right.
The word of God says, it's appointed unto every man. That's our appointment. It's ain't no way around it. But the good thing about it is, if we see the salvation of God before we get there, we understand that we're just passing from one to another.
Amen.
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 What we have here don't even compare to what we have there.
Amen.
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 That's the good thing about it. It don't even compare. So Moses is telling them, look at the Red Sea and understand that what you thought you had there don't compare to what you have on the other side. But you have to believe that you're on the other side. You can't keep seeing your problem. You can't keep seeing your tribulation. You can't keep focusing on whatever it is you're going through. And most importantly, you can't keep focusing, allowing your feelings to mess with your mindset. Both say, you will see them nevermore. But they're looking back and they say, well, there they are right there. When you going to make them disappear? When you going to kill them? Why can't you kill them back there instead of waiting till they almost get up on us to kill them here? Why you can't deliver me then, Lord, rather than in the future? Why I got to wait?
I know y'all never say that. I had to, when I was laying up there and they were getting ready to do my knee, I was saying, Jesus, let me ask you something before I fall, go out. Because they'd have dosed me, so I know I'm going out. I said, Jesus, I want to ask you something. Why is it that I got to let them operate on this knee, and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to have to go through and what I'm going to experience, instead of you just coming healing me right now and me telling them, oh, that's all right, forget it. Just let me sweep this stuff off and we'll be straight. So, I didn't know answer. The only answer I got, I woke up and they was trying to get me up. I said, didn't I just get here? Didn't y'all just replace my knee and you already trying to get me up? Where my meds? But God said, I need you to see something.
That's right.
I need you to understand that everything has a purpose and an intent. We don't want to see the purpose. And if we don't see the purpose, we really not going to understand the intent. So Paul said, you will see them never again. The Lord shall fight for you. And I had to figure out the last couple of weeks how God was fighting for me. They ain't found the guys that did it. Ain't nobody brought my stuff back and left it on my front porch. Listen to me. Ain't nobody called First Lady and tell her she don't have to have that because it's gone already. When I've seen folks go to the bathroom and come back with their tumors in their hand. So I had a lot of questions. And I was getting no answers. So that made it even worse. At least said, because I didn't want to. Or, you don't need it right now. Just don't not answer me. That's like when I used to ask my mother questions, and she'd sit there. And I go, why don't she just answer the question so I can go? And then I thought about it for a minute, and I looked up, and she was standing over me with the answer. And it wasn't the one that I wanted. I don't think I want God standing over me with an answer that I'm not prepared for. So God say, you got to stand firm. You got to stand still, son. Stop focusing on what you see and focus on what I said. Yeah, and then Moses says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cries thou unto me? Now it sounds like that's Moses, don't it? Moses, why are you crying? But it wasn't for Moses. He was saying, Moses, why are the people crying and bellyaching after I gave you a word to give them? You got to do something. Why you sit there like on a stump on a log? Right. Get up! Right. Man. Raise your staff. Act like you know me. Act like I called you. Act like I chose you. My God. Become who I said you was. You didn't want to talk, so I gave you here. To be your lap dog. To throw your pride down for you. And, you know, eat up the feral snakes and all that old kind of stuff. Little did he know that Aaron was going to bite him in the... That's why the Bible said, don't trust in the arm of flesh. So here's Moses. Why is crying down to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Okay, you want me to go forward? There's the Red Sea. There's no boats. So how am I supposed to get there from here? But what he was telling him, you got to go forward in your mindset.
Man.
You got to change your thinking.
Yeah.
Man. There's a man that I used to come here, he used to call it stinking thinking. And if you ain't thinking like God, or at least trying to,
get you a can of air freshener. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand. Do something.
Yeah.
Man.
Do something about your situation.
That's right.
Do something about what you're experiencing. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? You think I gave you that rod just to help you walk? You think I called you because I didn't have nothing better to do? I called you from the very beginning of time. You were predestinated.
Man.
To be who you are. But you have to make it up on your mind that you won't be that person.
Amen.
Speak unto the children as they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, there are a couple of theological arguments concerning the Red Sea. Somebody says that the Red Sea was it means weeds or trees. You know, at the bottom of the sea, you have all of the weeds and all that stuff. But the Bible says go across on dry ground. So theologically, where did you get that from? And if you read further on, when they were traveling across the Red Sea, it has a different meaning. Red Sea means river. It doesn't mean weeds. So when God said, I'm going to send you across on dry land, that means that your situation has got to dry up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
But it won't dry up unless you recognize it as being dried up. If you leave it, you think it's wet, it's going to stay wet.
Amen.
Remember when we were kids, it started raining, I don't care whether that rain was cold or hot, we just ran right through it. We had a great time. Now it rained, we're like, ooh, Lord. We don't have an umbrella, we sacrifice our jackets and everything else. We'd rather be cold than get wet. Saints have the ability to grow into something bad rather than something good.
Right.
So you do what you got to do, Moses, in the midst of the sea. So because I'll go fight your battle for you. The word fight translated into Hebrew means God said, don't worry, I'm going to feed on them. I'm going to consume them. Even if it doesn't happen quickly. Shouldn't have said that. Well, they had to sleep all night by the pillar of fire. And you know, you can hear the rumble of them horses and chariots. Bringing forth fear. You sitting there and you're going, you already don't want to leave Egypt. Because you think you've been set up. So you sitting there hearing and feeling this rumble. And you saying to yourself, I could have died in Egypt. Instead, I'm going to die right here. Instead of believing what the man of God already said, that God go fight your battle for you. Well, we know what happened. They got out there and the river swallowed them up. After Israel had got to the other side. Now they sing it. They sing songs of joy and happiness. You know, because the sea that parted, they see God doing something. But as soon as they get delivered, they go right back into their old mindset. You have to remember something. When you go through the Red Sea, it's going to always be somebody that follow you that don't believe like you believe.
Amen.
What is he saying? You can't get away from trouble. You just have to stand in the midst of it and proclaim this to be the day of the Lord.
Amen.
What is that spiritual passage I used to always quote? Man, it's a few days and full of troubles. Amen. Thank you. I needed that talk. Man, more than a woman.
a few days. He didn't say shortly, but he said a few days. And see, you have to understand something. We ain't going to live that long, but one day unto the Lord is 1,000 years. You don't believe me, look it up. So God gonna fight the battle. So then we gonna go to 2 Chronicles. Excuse me. Yeah. It's one thing about these cordless mics, they pick up everything up. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. The reason we're going to 2 Chronicles is because I want you to understand that God ain't never going to leave you or forsake you. What he did for you once, he'll do it again. Name of the song is, he'll do it again. So here we are in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and the 14th verse. It says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, you got to go through all these names because they want you to understand where he come from and his lineage. The sons of Asaph came to the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. What does he say? God will get right in the center of your circumstance and give you the insight or the revelation to see the blessing. To see the blessing. When you least expect it. You thinking about one thing and God doing something else. Yeah. I was sitting up there on my way here. I was going, you know, dear Lord. First lady about to come home. I know you listening. She don't like my cooking. Unless I cook turkey. She don't eat nothing but turkey. She might eat some chicken, but she gonna eat some turkey. And she eat them turkey burgers, and I look at her, it ain't dry. She could tear them turkey burgers up. I had to get me some real meat. I gotta have me a hamburger, some beef. Yeah, I gotta have me some beef. My Lord. But nevertheless, you got to have your confidence. You have to believe. Now she believes that turkey is healthier than beef.
They don't know.
I lift it up and it ain't. I studied on it. It's not. It's actually, if you look at what's in the turkey and the calories and everything compared to the beef, it is not. I had to cut down. I had to shoot down the middle of this because this is going somewhere. Because this side said yes, and this side said no, it ain't. First lady still don't care. No, it ain't. Because she ain't gonna eat no meat. Don't let me cook spaghetti. What's in it? Oh Lord Jesus. God will get right in the center of whatever it is you're dealing with.
That's right.
I've seen him do it. Yeah. Like I was saying, I was on my way here and I'm thinking about finance and all that kind of stuff. And Sister Sherry gets excited sometimes. And she can't wait to show me something. Yeah, I got something to show you. Oh, okay. She ain't gonna tell me what it is. She gonna let me see it. Because it's like if she tell me, I'm not gonna believe it. So I have to see it. You got to see what God has for you.
Amen.
Amen. You better see it. God, and I like when it talks about in the midst. It means directly in the center. So that means in the center, everything is surrounding you that you're dealing with, meaning that God now has the ability to speak through you.
Amen.
Not just some of them.
Right. Yes.
I had my foot had to get delivered, Rev. Especially on Sunday morning. It don't be nobody on the free. I better shut up. They don't need to stand up and tell them myself. But you understand. I know Pastor Relevant and Brother Relevant, they used to say, we're in the best garden. Rev, you better not go that fast. Amen. Always good to have some laughter. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'm in the midst. I'm right here. I'm right here. Now, this ain't Moses. It's God. But it's still in the midst of Jerusalem. Hearken ye all, Judah. I like Judah because Judah means praise.
Amen.
Sometimes God just wants to talk to your praise.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And when you're going through a bunch, if you're still human, a lot of times you ain't ready to give up that praise.
Right.
You want God to do what He's promised you He was going to do you right now.
Amen.
You ain't trying to wait a few days.
Okay.
Lord, where are you? After this week, I'm never going to ask Him again. Because if you ask God where He is, I'm pretty sure He want to know where you are.
Right.
And there's only one way God going to know where you are. Is in your praise.
Amen.
And if you ain't praise me, you're going to find yourself in some other stuff.
Yeah.
Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, that lets you know that everybody ain't praising Him.
Right.
Amen.
It's like He's talking to two sets of people, Judah and all Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And thou, King Jehoshaphat, you listen to King. Because a lot of times we sit up on our own thrones and forget that we ain't gods.
Yeah.
Hmm. Somebody gonna get that in a minute.
Yeah.
It said, be not what? Afraid. The word afraid here means a noisy crowd. I don't know, Sister Sherry, but sometimes my trial and tribulation, they just sound like a bunch of noise. Maybe that's why I turn my music up so high so I don't have to listen to it. And then they done mess around and my radio burned up and they gave me a new radio. And I just had new speakers put in my speakers. So you can hear me 2 blocks away. So my teammates be talking to me and I just be looking at them. I said, what'd you say? Pardon me?
Yes.
What? Did you like that? I said, look here. I told one of my teammates, can you come a little closer? Because I cannot hear what you are saying to me. Well, we got a bunch of noise around us a lot of times. We can't hear what God is saying.
Yeah.
You hear something, but it ain't God. And then folks say, well, why don't you just turn your music down? I say, because it's my car. In my ears. You say, what if you go deaf? Well, they got other alternatives. I'll just turn it up louder. We cannot be afraid of the noise. Amen. We have to stay focused and stand still. Nor be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, or why you going through what you going through. Think it not strange. The fiery trials, the word fiery means twice as hot as what you would normally experience, that you're going through. And God, what did he tell Paul? He said, Paul was sitting there and could have stopped this. So why is you allowing this choker to buffet me? Or to cause me problems, or to make me think about what I've done to so many folks. You know that man ain't never forgot about what he did to people.
Yeah.
You don't forget. That's why he wrote, forgetting those things which are behind you and pressing to those things which are before you. You can't allow your past experience or troubles or trials to separate you from where you're going in God. That same deal that the children of Israel had to deal with the Red Sea. So you have to focus on the thing. And we don't live by fear.
Right.
But we live by faith.
Amen.
Because fear will change your character.
Amen.
Fear will change the way you walk.
That's right.
And your disposition.
Yes, it
yeah.
will.
Amen.
And God wants you to be who he wants you to be.
Right.
For the battle is not yours, but it's God.
Right.
It means don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
He said, this ain't your battle. And then John 17, it says, I'm closing with this. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. So why are you fighting it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Why are you bellyaching? Why are you crying out? I heard you before you even opened your mouth.
Because
I searched the intents of your heart and I understood what it is that you're dealing with and what you're going through. So instead of bellyaching, crying, praise me.
Amen.
God told me, praise him. Praise me. Separate yourself from grief. Separate yourself from fear. Separate yourself from heartache. Separate yourself from anger.
Because
I was hot when I saw they went in the house. I was really hot. I was fuming. Jesus had to really help me. Because I was sitting there, Brother Ed said, come on back. Come on back, let's get some more of it. But like Pastor Arnese reminded me this morning, God protect what? Fools and infidels. I tell you all the time, I don't know which one of them categories I fall in, but I know I've touched on both of them at some time or another because of what I've experienced or because of what I went through. I say to myself, I'm only 61 years old. Don't you think I've been through too much already, God? He say, Buster. See, he had to talk to me in a language I understand. If he had said, Dennis, I might not have heard him, Brother Little John. If he had said, man of God, I might not have heard him. But when he said, hey, Buster. Don't you know that I'm God? And I've been God since the beginning of the creation of man? And I don't ever change? So what makes you think that I didn't already know that you were going to experience what you're experiencing now? That's why I sent my son. He died on the cross. He rose again. And he sent you somebody that will comfort you and strengthen you and show you the right path. The battle's not yours. So why do you keep trying to fight it? I found out as long as I kept trying to fight it, I was losing. He said, set yourselves. That means you got to get firm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're you gentlemen, I know you didn't play football. Well, some of us. You didn't play football? Okay. Yeah. You know when you sit that close to me, I got direct eye contact with you. I was playing football and I had got through the front of the line. And I saw this guy come. I said, he's going to stick me. And he was little than I was. But he was built like a tree trunk. I braced myself. And that man hit me. Well, he was a teenager. And I saw saw myself flying through the air. And I said, and while I was in the air, I said, now I braced myself for this. And then he had nerve to extend his hand to help me up. I said, get away from me. You don't even have to hit me that hard. We're supposed to be boys. He said, this football, dear. You on our team. You my enemy. That's how your trials feel about you. You can brace yourself all you want, but they gonna stick you. You just have to know that you, that God is who he said he is. And that you don't have to fight the battle. All you got to do is stand. And see the prosperity and the power and the presence of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem. That's weird how he keeps separating them. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. I tell folks all the time, make sure you're around folks that believe the way you believe. And want to understand like you want to understand. Because if you don't, they do have a way of affecting your life. Now, just thinking about the way the word operates and how God's talking here, it seems like Jerusalem has affected Judah. And if Jerusalem has affected Judah, it affects their praise.
Amen.
You can't let nothing affect your praise.
Amen.
Nothing. Not even your pain.
Yes.
Your anxiety.
Amen.
Your financial woes. You have to keep pressing.
Yes.
Because if you let something affect your praise, you affect your prosperity in God. And a lot of that prosperity ain't always finances. God told Samuel, I'll heal your land. I like that part, I'll heal your land, because we come from the earth. If I say, I came from my mother. Yeah, but you backtrack. By the time you get through backtracking, you're going to find yourself in the garden. Coming up out of the ruddy, you ain't going to be a ruddy till out of the dirt. That's why he was called, translated, ruddy. It's not our fight. It's not our battle. Even though we see it as ours, Jackie. And we've made it ours. Because the reason we've made it ours is because it has affected us. But God said, that's all right. It may have affected you, but you can't allow it to stop you. Because remember this, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. He has enabled you to praise in the midst of your reign. And what God told me, God said, you don't hold no special territory where you can't be affected. He said, it rains of the just and the unjust. So don't think you so holy and so righteous that some rain ain't gonna fall on you. You ever been walking down the street and it was raining on one on your side and out the other side? That happened to me when I was growing up. I thought I was cursed or something. I'm looking at the other side of the street and the sun was shining. And on my side it's just raining. And I'm looking around. What? Let me go on to the other side. I ain't gonna tell you when I got to the other side, it started raining and now my side dried up. I said, something, this ain't right. This ain't right. Ooh, Lord, let me close. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. For the Lord with you. I know your Bible says, for the Lord will be with you, but the word will be is not actually there.
it's stated for the Lord with you, letting you know that you don't have to wait on him. If it says will be, it's a possibility that you got to wait. But if it says he's going with you, meaning that when you go, he goes. So what is he saying? When you have pain, he got pain. When you got troubles and struggles, he has trouble and struggles.
Yeah.
Why do you think Hebrews says we have not a high priest who has been tempted on all points? Not only was he tempted then, but he tempted now as you are tempted.
Man.
But God said you got to stand still, stand firm, and see the blessings of God.
Man.
You may not be able to touch them, you can't smell them, and you can't feel them. But know that they come. And I remember when Brother Little John made us that venison, that deer meat. What was that dish you made?
Well, that was pulled venison.
Pulled venison. And I pulled too. My wife ain't gonna touch nothing. Wow. Well, that she thinking, wow. I honestly believe, sweetie, that you would go ahead and starve to death rather than eat some venison. She'll walk by me cooking some venison and won't even take a look at it. She'll say, what is that? And she gone before I hear, that's good meat. Now, that's healthy.
Yeah.
That's a very lean meat.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Amen. See, the reason Pastor Key said what he said is that he believed the Bible. He said, God said, you can eat anything you want to eat. As long as you do it in moderation. But Pastor Key don't eat stuff in moderation. And he like it. He like it. He go, and he, yeah, he gonna do that too. He gonna take a chance. I ain't never told this story, Pastor Keys. I'm gonna tell this story. Me and Pastor Keys, somebody had brought me some, you probably remember this, but somebody brought me some chitlins, right? Just so I could eat them. And they just didn't, something just wasn't right about me. And I said, I don't want these. Something ain't right about these. And me and Pastor Keys were together. He said, I'll take them. I said, Pastor Keys, this is something. Man, give me them chitlins. Not only did he eat the chitlins, but he mixed chili with them. Pastor Keys, how many days did you stay?
It was just one, but it was a good
one. It was a good one. It felt like a week, didn't it? Oh, Lord. Anyway, I'm close. You just have to trust God. Just make sure you trust me for the right things. I'm looking forward to the day when the first lady, we go someplace, I have to hold her arm to keep up. Because I think she got a motor in her feet. She be about three people in front of me. Now, when we're going to vote now together, so I have to get a head start. I don't even wait on her. I'll just take off. Before I get to the door, she already at the door. That's the way God wants us to be. That's why I say run this race with patience. Being patient is standing still to recognize who God is in spite of what it is that you have to deal with, that you're going. Because even though the situation might not change, if you change, if you change, you'll see it in a different life. And it won't affect you the way it was affecting you in the beginning. Everybody's saying.
My help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
and not from me, and put that yoke under subjection to the word of God that God has already placed in my life. And I found out that the high, it hurts a lot less. Today we're going to pray. We go through some things that we absolutely cannot tell nobody. Because they absolutely are not going to understand. They're going to come up with their own preconceived notions or ideas while you're going through it. When I first got to the church, if you were going through something and you went to talk to somebody, the first thing they want to ask you, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And I said, Lord, you got to give me an answer for that. So I was reading the book of Romans, and God gave me my answer. Paul gave me the answer. He said, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by my works. What are my works? Stand still and see the salvation of God. Now I'm going to go through some stuff, and I'm going to get mad at some folks, and I'm going to kick them out my camp. But I'm going to allow this word to make me realize that I made a mistake and make it right. Guess why? Because I see the presence of God. Take somebody by the hand. Heavenly Father, in the miraculous and the wonderful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yes.
Father, we thank you today for being who you are.
Yes.
For being our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings.
Yes.
For making us justified to be who we are in you.
Yes.
Father, I pray today that you will minister each and every one of us, Father.
Yes.
That you would give us the strength, Lord, when we're going through our trials and our tribulations and our circumstances, that we can sit still, not just sitting wondering, but sitting praising and glorifying you. Sitting, Lord God, I mean that we can sit there. We don't have to try to beat or fight our way through the trouble or through the battle, understanding that you fight our battles for us.
Yeah.
I like when your word says you will not have to fight in this battle. Well, Lord, you make us give us the understanding that we don't have to fight in no battle. All we've got to do is praise and lift up your name.
Yeah.
Because you're going to always protect your son. Your son is in us. And you're going to protect that son. And you're going to protect that anointing and that power. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, strengthen us, Lord God. Encourage us, Lord. Build us up in our most holy prayer.
Yes.
Glorify yourself, Jesus, in this earth, that men might know that there are fleshly people that have a spiritual God. Use us for your glory. Extend yourself through us. Work through us. Minister through us. Lord God, that somebody's life might be touched. So, Father, I thank you this morning for this congregation, Lord God, that you were in the midst of. And I pray that you let me either one of us here leave as we came in. But in Jesus' name, we leave encouraged, strengthened, uplifted, healed, delivered, and set free, able to see those things which were not as though they are. Lord God, so that when we call upon your name, we don't have to keep doing it. We know that you have already searched our hearts. So when we call it the first time, it's already been taken care of. Teach us how to move in the foundation of your word and not in the waves of our ideas. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning for having your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come on and give God some praise. I said, because when I get home, I ain't getting up and I ain't walking. I ain't going nowhere. Ain't nobody else is waking me up in the middle of the night. Making me get up and walk. But First Lady wouldn't let me sleep down. So she said, you sleep in other stairs. I said, I ain't going down the steps. Oh, yes, you are, man. She said, that's going to be good for you. So I stopped drinking water at night. If I don't drink no water, I don't have to go downstairs in the bathroom. Didn't quite work like that. So I sit up beside the bed, I go, man, I gotta go down the stairs. And she holler, you alright, honey? I go, yes. It was amazing. But I found out though that going up and down helped me. And then when it was time for me to start, the doctor okayed me to start going out and practicing bowling. And I'm gonna tell you the truth, I was scared. Because I felt what the pain make you not want to go. But every time I decide that I didn't want to go, she go, man, you got a brand new knee. I said, and? It ain't stop hurting. She said, ain't never gonna stop hurting until you start putting some pressure on it. Why don't you practice what you preach? Oh, she can, ooh, Lord. She don't say it mean, though, but she say it. I said, woman, keep it up here. She said, I ain't scared of you. I said, I know you ain't. Now you stronger than me. I tried wrestling with First Lady once before. I was laughing at her like, I said, but I'll never hit her. She ain't never got to worry about me trying to hit her. She ain't got to worry about me raising my voice at her. You know how they slap hands? I kept telling this guy, I said, you hit her hand harder and harder, you gonna pay for it. Man, she just a woman. I was okay. I had my back turned, and I heard something go, ha! She got it. And he went, I said, I warned you. You see how she give me five? Because I know, been there, done that. You have to know your adversaries. You have to know how much you can take and how much you take. Y'all better quit playing. If you already dealing with something that you're tired of, don't make the matter worse. Lord Jesus, we're talking about faith this morning. For the fresh yards. Are we gonna have something fixed? No. You know, usually when God let the fresh yards, we gonna have something fixed. We ain't gotta have nothing fixed till next spring. Amen. Tommy, tell the shine, keep that door closed right there. Yeah, you know how to get his sleep. That's why he's so slow to answer. But you know, if he had been awake, he'd have answered me right on the spot. But it took him a few minutes. He did it right. Yep, we don't need nothing fixed. But it'll be by your faith.